Genesis chapter number 3. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I do not take it lightly that Brother Andrew would invite us to come up. I pastor, if you don't know me, I pastor in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. I pastor Calvary Road Baptist Church there. We've been there pastoring since 2020, which was an interesting year to start pastoring, I'll just tell you. But, you know, the Lord don't really care what we think about it, I'll just tell you. He's got a plan, and it's always the best one. You can say amen right there. It's always the best one. I was a youth pastor for something like, 13, 14 years before that at my dad's church. So I've been saved for a long time, since I was 8 years old. And I've yet to find, Brother Andrew, that the Lord has failed me. I've yet to find that He was less than I thought He would be. In fact, what I find, the longer I live and the more I see and the more I do, the more I find that He's better than I thought He was, that He's bigger than I thought He was, and that really, in the grand scheme of things, I know very little about God. Amen. I learn more about Him every day than I knew the day before, and I'm continually surprised. Amen. I'm glad that I'm saved, and I serve a God who's real. Amen. I want to hurry tonight. I told Brother Andrew I don't want to wear you out. I have struggled over what to preach, and I'm just going to trust the Lord and give you what hopefully I got it right. Amen. If it falls flat, it was me. It wasn't the Lord. I'll just tell you. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 14. The Bible says here in Genesis 3:14, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Genesis 3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And if you don't know what that's talking about, you ought to study it a little bit. It'll give you a little something. Amen. Something to shout about right there. I'm glad of the day that the seed of the woman bruised the head of the serpent. Amen. I think that's a pretty good deal when the Lord put the devil in his place. Amen. And I'm glad that I serve a God who is alive and can't be stopped. Amen. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Can I push this over, Brother Andrew? Is that going to bother anybody? I just know I'm going to smack it if I don't. I don't want to break nothing. Amen. Any of y'all ever use a pair of post-hole diggers? I grew up on a sheep farm, and my dad believed in doing everything the hard way. Amen. We had tractors, but, you know, we didn't use them for, you know, digging post holes. We just dug post holes. We only did square bales because my dad believed we ought to have to pack every one of them. Amen. And my dad was praising the Lord when his firstborn son, me, turned, you know, 8th grade or so and grew to be 6'4", and he could put us to work. And then my brother came along, and he's 6'7", two big old boys. Amen. Put them to work. That's, he said, it's why I had you. Now get to work. The ground is hard. Now, I don't know how the ground is up here, but where I'm at, there's a lot of red clay. And I'll just tell you, if that ain't the proof of God, nothing is. I mean, we're seeing Genesis chapter 3 come to fruition the moment you try to dig a hole in the dirt. The reason that the ground is fighting us is what we would all say. We'd say it, thanks, Adam. That's what we say all the time. Thanks, Adam. You ever go to dig a post hole and you go, thanks, Adam, for this dirt I'm having to dig in. You're trying to plant some taters or dig them back up. And you say, well, this ground was awful soft 2 weeks ago. Now, why is it so hard? Thanks, Adam. We appreciate it. Amen. What a blessing Adam is to all of us. Verse number 18 says this, though. The first word in this chapter, in this verse right here, is thorns. Y'all see that word thorns? Say it with me. Thorns. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, this right here is a pretty, I would say, a sad story for humanity. This is God outlining a lot of the pains that we're going to suffer through our lives that every man and every woman are going to deal with because of the curse of Adam. But you'll find here, as I was reading through this sometimes, something we'll often use in studying our Bible that is a good way of study when you're starting off, especially if you're going to look at a certain word, is something often referred to as the law of first mention. You find the first time that an idea or something is in the Bible, and you go find that, and sometimes it'll help you get a good idea of what that word or that concept is throughout the Bible. Now, that's not necessarily 100% true 100% of the time, but it's a good way to study your Bible. And by the way, if you don't ever study your Bible, you should study your Bible. Amen. Trust me. You will never do anything but benefit by studying God's Word. But this word thorn is the first time we find this word in the Bible. Now, we all know what thorns are. They're those spiky, sharp, pointed bits of a plant that are designed to harm anything that touches it. That's what they're for. Thorns are there to hurt you. They serve no other purpose. Now, they say, well, they protect the plant. That's right. And their goal in protecting the plant is to hurt whatever tries to touch it. A thorn is designed to hurt you. And Genesis chapter 3 tells me we have Adam to thank for thorns. Any of y'all ever walk through a field that was about, you know, knee high, and you get part of the way through and suddenly you come up on what the Bible called here thorns and thistles? And y'all ever got caught up? Y'all have those things up here called stingweed? Y'all ever heard of stingweed?
Yeah.
Anybody ever heard of that? We like to go fishing down home. I'm just going and telling y'all how country I'm, I guess, right now. And we go out there, we go fishing. You ever get in stingweed? The moment it touches your skin, you know it because it lights you up like a Christmas tree. I mean, you're burning, you're itching. It's awful. It's the worst thing there is. You know who we have to thank for that? Adam. Thanks, Adam, for the thorn. Let's say it together. Ready? Thanks, Adam. Let's do it again. Ready? Thanks, Adam. We appreciate it. The thorns. Nobody wants to deal with thorns. I know I don't. But you know what I find in the Bible? They are a constant presence. In fact, the Lord uses them as a warning to try and get through to His people things that they should and should not be doing. Turn with me to Judges chapter number 1. In Judges chapter number 1 tonight, if the Lord will help me, I want to speak about some unnecessary thorns. Now, here's the truth. Thorns are a reality of life. We deal with them. If you're going to go plant a garden or you're going to deal with anything in the ground, you're going to deal with literal, physical thorns. However, that being said, the Lord actually outlines some things in His Word that are less of a physical thorn, like that spiky thing growing on the bottom of a rose or in a bush, and rather something that is designed to hurt you, right? And these things are sometimes spiritual things, sometimes physical things. In the book of Judges, chapter number 1, Joshua has just given, at the end of the book of Joshua, that great speech, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve." And now God has finally brought the children of Israel into Canaan land. They are about to start living the victorious life. Amen. Living where God wants them to be, to have what God wants them to have. They are living in it now. Amen. God gave them some instructions long before they ever went in there, back in the book of Numbers, and we'll reference that here in just a moment, and again in the book of Joshua. But here in Judges chapter number 1, they have now set about taking over the land. They're spreading it out, allotting different people to a lot of different places. And in verse number 27, it says this: "Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Tanakh and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land." Verse 28, "And it came to pass when Israel was," what's that next word?
Strong.
"That they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out." Now, we could go down through here and read all these verses, and you'll read how that it'll name all these different people. Ephraim didn't drive them out. Zebulun didn't drive them out. Asher didn't drive them out. All the different the tribes of Israel, the Asherites dwelt among the, it said they dwelt among the Canaanites. They did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants. You get down to verse number 33, it actually says this: "Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Bethanan became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres." And down at the bottom of that verse it says again, "so that they became tributaries." You see that word tributary? Now, that's not talking about a branch off of a river. That is talking about someone who gives tribute. In other words, here's what happened. The children of Israel moved into this land. They began to set up their homes and their places. And these Canaanites, these other tribes that were there, that God, by the way, told them to drive out completely and utterly. We instead read, they did not drive them out. Now, some they did, but not all. Some they did. Now some, they're, we're going to have to get them out of here, okay? I mean, Jericho came down, right? A lot of things went on. There was a lot of battles fought. But not every tribe and not every Canaanite that lived in the land was driven out. And because of that, Instead of driving them out like God told, they said, here's what we're going to do, guys. Let's instead make them pay us rent to live here. You want to stay in your house? That's fine. You're not hurting anybody. Look, look at them. They're weak. They're so weak. They've got no army. They've got no king. They're just pitiful. They've got just a little bit here. And you know what? They've got some nice cattle. They've got some nice fruit, some nice land. Let's let them stay in their little houses. We'll rule the land, and we'll get to make some extra cash off of this deal. Isn't that very pragmatic of them? That they got to turn that situation to their advantage. Amen. I mean, weren't they so smart to do that? I mean, you know, from a worldly point of view, amen, if you have, by the way, a carnal worldview, then you will always see something that benefits you personally as a good thing. A carnal worldview would tell me, well, if it's going to be good for me, then it must be good. But the problem with that is it disregards what God says. Judges chapter 2, verse number 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. That's a pretty good deal. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but you've not obeyed my voice. Then he says this. Why have you done this? That's a strong question. Amen. Why have you done this? That's like an angry parent that walks in and finds the destruction of everything they own, right? Why? Just tell me why. Why have you done this? Surely there's a good reason. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. So here's what he's saying. I sent you up out of Egypt, and rather, honestly, he said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. When he's saying that, what he means is this. I went in, I showed Pharaoh who was God, I brought you out of Egypt, I fed you and kept you healthy in the wilderness, even though you rebelled against me for 40 years, and you watched all your parents die, and now this new generation, by the way, which loved God and served God. All the days of Joshua, they have a good heart. He said this. He said, I brought you up, but I told you, when you get here, drive them all out, break down their altars, don't leave anybody, and you didn't do that. Why have you done this? And God said this. Well, when you were in Egypt, I brought you out of Egypt, and I destroyed Pharaoh and his armies when they chased you down. You defeated every enemy that I told you to fight. I did all that for you. I'm not doing this for you. Isn't that what he said? He said, I will not drive them out from before you. Look at this. But they shall be as, what's that word? Thorns in your sides. And their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. It took the children of Israel a long time to reach the point of Judges chapter 1 and chapter 2. But after many years of toiling and battling, they finally arrive in the promised land. They get here and they just can't be completely obedient. Amen. They were mostly. I think we could use the word mostly. Will you study about this generation of Israel here? They serve the Lord. You can go and read through the rest of chapter 2, and you'll find that this generation right here, they serve the Lord all the days of Joshua and then all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. I mean, they were a generation that learned something when they watched their mothers, fathers, and grandparents' carcasses fall in the wilderness. And yet, even this good and truly genuine group of people could not be wholly obedient. And because of their small disobediences, what they did is they invited some unnecessary thorns into their life. God did not tell them to drive the Canaanites out because He hated them. He told them to drive the Canaanites out because they were going to be a thorn and a snare for His people. They were going to be that If they were left, they were going to be that. This is not God saying, well, since you left them there, I'm going to make them a thorn in your side. No, he's saying you left them there and they're going to be a thorn in your side. It's just like he did with Adam when he said that if he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, thou shalt surely die. He didn't say, I'll kill you. He said, it will kill you. You will die. If you invite the knowledge of evil and sin into yourself, you will die because the wages of sin is death. Amen. That is not God being a bully. That is God trying to protect you from something that wants to hurt you. Thorns are designed to hurt you. That's what they do. And while these Israelites knew that God had said, and we'll read it in Numbers chapter 33, we see the instruction of the Lord in Numbers 33, how the Lord spake to Moses all the way back in the plains of Moab and Jordan. He said, speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, when you're passed over Jordan, the land of Canaan, ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. How many of them do you say should drive out? All of them. All the way back in Numbers 33, all the way back in the days of Moses, long before this day has come, over and over in their ears, they have heard it repeated. When you get to Canaan, drive out all of the inhabitants. Drive them out, destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, pluck down all their high places. He goes, he said, you should dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell there because I've given you the land to possess. He said, take what they have because I have given it to you and drive them out. He makes it clear, drive them out. Divide it by lot for your inheritance, your families. He goes on verse 55, he says this, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Numbers chapter 33. Joshua chapter number 23. The same message comes again to them. Joshua chapter 23 verse number 11. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if you do anywise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them. And they do. And by the way, we didn't read all the verses, but in Judges chapter 1 you find that some were doing just that, going and making marriages amongst these false, these wicked nations. Verse 13 of Joshua 23. Know for a certainty. Now that says this, it's not a maybe. This is a certainty. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. It's like God told them exactly what was going to happen. If you do that, they're going to hurt you and I will not drive them out. You go, you drive them out and I'll bless you. Amen. I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it? He said, if you don't do it, they're going to be a problem for you, and I'm not going to drive them out. He said, they shall be snares and traps unto you, scourges in your sides, and listen to this, and thorns in your eyes. Now, that sounds pretty uncomfortable. I've had thorns in my hands and in my legs, and it's not comfortable. I've never had one in my eyeball. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, I'd prefer if I could live all the days of my life and never know what it's like to have a thorn stuck in my eyeball. Back behind my Gurney's house, that's my grandmother, there's an old tree down there at the bottom. We'd go down to this cave, and we'd take kids to the cave and stuff, at youth rally and stuff. And down there by that tree, we were making a crown of thorns for some skit or something we were going to make, maybe an Easter decoration. And there's an old tree down there. I don't know what kind of tree it is, but the first time I ever saw it, it scared me to death. It's a big old tree, and it was grown about completely with thorns. I mean, just vines and vines and vines of thorns all the way up as far as you could reach. And I mean, these suckers were coming off 3, 4, 5, 6 inches long. The kind of thorns that you touch them, and that part of your hand goes numb. You know what I'm talking about? They got that little poison on the end of them. Can I tell you what? I would not like one of those thorns stuck into my eyeball. I didn't like it when it poked my hand trying to collect them all. I thought I should have brought welder's gloves. Amen. I was down there with my naked hands like a real smart teenager pulling those things off there. But he said this, there'll be scourges in your sides. He said another place there'll be thorns in your sides. And he said there'll be thorns in your eyes. Can I tell you this? A thorn in the side might slow us down, but a thorn in the eyes will blind us. It'll blind us. This is the instruction of the Lord. Now I want you to see the imprudence of Israel. Let me hurry. In spite of the warnings they'd received, as soon as they began to settle in their inheritance in their homes, they decided. Now, let me ask you a question. Had the Lord told them what to do? You reckon Joshua and Moses were faithful to tell them those things? So they knew. So when they got there, here's what they did. They looked around and they decided, we've decided to go in a different direction. These few that are left are so few. I mean, how could they really hurt us? And actually, you're not going to believe this, but they want to pay us. They want to give us money. They want to give us sheep. They want to give us cattle. They want to serve us. We can make them pay tribute to us, pay rent. And by the way, is it wrong to pay rent? Is it wrong to receive rent? No, it's not. That within itself is not a wrong thing. What was wrong is that that was the opposite of what God had told them to do. God had told them very clearly, drive them out. And you might be thinking, Brother Paul, where are you going with this? Stay with me. I promise I'm going to hopefully bring it into a simple application here at the end. But these inhabitants of Israel looked around, and I'm sure in their mind they thought, why waste a good resource? I mean, we just came a long way. We just came through the wilderness, and we're here. And yeah, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. But what's a little extra? It could be a good little extra cash in the pocket, a few extra things here and there, some extra cattle, some extra hands for work. And they're good people. It wasn't about that. It was never about the people. It was about the God and what He had said. It was not about the people. It was about God. And God had said, there are things that those people have in them that are designed to hurt you. And if you do not drive them out, He specifically said that their gods will be a snare to them. This is the imprudence of Israel, the inquiry of the Lord. As the Lord comes to him, He says, why have you done this? The angel of the Lord shows up. He's dumbfounded. They receive clear instruction, and the exact thing that He told them would happen has happened. He said, God is not going to drive them out. And now it's too late. They will be thorns in your sides. They'll be thorns in your eyes. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. And what did they do? They wept. They gave sacrifices to God. The ignorance of their mistake is this. They should have known. They'd heard it. Amen. Has that ever been you? You ever heard it? And when the time came, you made the wrong choice and afterward thought, I should have known better. That's what's going through the heart of all these children of Israel in Judges chapter 2. They're going, we should have known. So clearly did the man of God, Joshua and Moses, stand up and say, if you do that, you're going to wind up hurt because of it. And now they're going, we should have known. But they chose to act ignorantly for a worldly profit. They did not consider the repercussions of keeping the Canaanites around. All they could see was the little bit of good they thought they could get in this world. Amen. And we see they had a mind for a worldly profit, and they had a weak perspective. They believed, here's the problem. Here's what I believe to be the real problem of why they allowed this to happen. Because if it had been some great king or some great army, they would never have been like, it'll be fine. You know what it was? They did not realize the danger. They thought they were safe. Amen. They thought, well, there's nothing to worry about with these few Canaanites. They're going to give us a little money, give us a little profit. Everything will be fine. There's no real danger. What harm could it do to keep just a little bit around, not realizing how these things would grow to affect them, and not only them, but their children? They didn't consider the religion that would result from it. Nor did they consider the relationships that would result from it. Are you listening to me? Once you see the injuries of Israel, because of what they did, these nations, these tribes would be, and they were, a thorn in the side of Israel. And I'm just going to tell you, they have been ever since. From then until now. In fact, right now. I don't know if y'all are following the news, but right now, Israel's living with some thorns in their eyes, because of choices they made in Judges chapter number 1. Amen. The sad part about it is this, they didn't understand the enemies that these people would be in battle. They couldn't see just a few chapters, a few books later, when later, here they are, they're going to war against who? Canaanites. Against the same people that if they had driven them out and killed them and done what they're supposed to, maybe that never would have happened. Amen. But here they are, a constant thorn in their side over and over and over again. Why? They didn't understand the enemies that these people would become in their battle. It's like sitting out in your house. Y'all ever been gone on a trip, maybe on vacation for a week or so? You come home and the mice have moved in. Or do y'all not have mice up here in Ohio? Y'all deal with mice sometimes? Amen. We came home one time from a trip and there was rice hidden in places all over the house. They'd gotten into the pantry and they had made rice beds. We were pulling shirts out of closets for months and rice would just go everywhere. You know what you do? You declare war on the mice. Yeah. Or that's what I do. Yeah. Amen. You put out traps. Amen. You put out traps or poison or whatever you're going to do. You've got an infestation. You're going to get it out. Well, this is like going, putting out a couple traps, getting up the next morning. You've got three mice on three traps. Say, well, look at that. We got them. You take the traps out. What you've done is you've taken care of part of the problem. But you have not taken care of the whole problem. And what you have left, if you've left enough, is you've left just enough that eventually you're going to have another full-blown infestation. That's exactly what happened in this case. They left enough that it was not going to go away, but rather it was going to grow and become an even bigger problem later on. They did not see the enemies that they would battle. They did not see the evil that they would become. In Judges chapter 2, just a few verses later, after all this generation in verse 10 is gathered to their fathers, it says there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. How do you go from really the first truly dedicated and submitted nation and generation of Israel that we've seen to a generation that doesn't even know who God is? Can you imagine a further fall? You know what that means? The sons and the daughters of these people did not know God. Verse 11 says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Where'd they learn about Balaam? From their tributaries. That's where they learned about Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods and the God of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Can I tell you, this is the scary part? The scary part is not that, well, what if this generation that did not drive them out there in Judges 1 in the first part of chapter 2, what if that generation then had to deal with some problems in their life and some troubles with sins and different things? Man, that would be hard for them. That's not the scary part. The scary part is what happened to their children. I'll tell you, if I live my whole life for the Lord, and when I die, my children go on to be unbelievers because I kept some things in my life that God said, get out. Are y'all listening? That I thought it won't be a real problem. It's so small, there's no real danger. But what you find is that small danger becomes an enormous danger in the lives of my children. Well, that's not a victory, friend. That's not a victory. That's a thorn that I don't want to live with. I don't want my children to live with. Are y'all listening to me this evening? I don't want to live with that knowledge that because of my failures, my children might forsake God completely. The evil that would befall them in verse 14 said the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. How greatly things have changed from the God who took Israel out of Egypt and all the way into Canaan and gave them this promised land, that now he has turned his hand against them and he is delivering them to spoilers. Why? Because of some unnecessary thorns. I keep saying unnecessary, and we're almost done tonight. Let me give you this important message as we close. Unnecessary. Unnecessary. These thorns brought serious injury to Israel. Yeah. It doesn't get more serious. In fact, and I don't have time to deal with it, but you'll find that the structure and the foundation of this false worship that they brought in eventually led them to murder their own children by fire. To the point that hell itself is compared to the place where they would burn their own children to false gods. Why? Because they did not drive them out. Amen. The greatest scourge and mark, amen, of the valley of Hinnom and the stink and the smell, it said that you could hear the screams ringing out from the bottom of that valley where they would sacrifice their children. How do you go from the victory of Joshua to that? Because you think there's no danger in the things that God is telling you. You have to drive it out. Y'all have heard the old adage, sin will take you farther than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, cost you more than you wanted to pay. That's what this story is. They kept a remnant that they thought was harmless, just a little thing, just a small thing. Mostly obedient. Y'all hearing me tonight? Mostly, we're talking about good, God-fearing people. That the moment the angel told them what had happened, they wept. They loved the Lord. But it's because they were mostly obedient that they left a portion. And what does the Bible say? That a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That sin is so corruptive and corrosive that if it is left just a small portion, that it can grow to a place that what is brought forth will in no way resemble how it started. It happened because of their fulfilled desires. They put more stock in what they wanted than what God had said. Amen. We can get a little extra money. We can get a little extra cattle. We can make them work for us. It'll be good. I know God said drive them all out, but there's no danger. There was danger. It happened because of their fulfilled desires. It happened because of their failure of disobedience. God said it very plain. He couldn't have said it more plain. Don't do this. Drive them out. If you don't, this is what will happen. And they brought that prophecy to be fulfilled. They did exactly what God said not to do. They did not do what God said to do. And because of their failure of disobedience, God knew the danger it would pose to their faith. He knew the danger it would pose to their future. Are y'all listening? It happened because they forgot the danger. Any of y'all ever had a chance or an opportunity to work in youth ministry? You probably at one point or another have sat down or talked with a teenager. Maybe you have one at home, or maybe you dealt with one in the church or something who was going in the wrong direction. Brother Christopher, you ever talk with a teen going the wrong direction? And a lot of times, you know what they say? Well, it's going to be all right. And you tell them, if you go that way, I've seen it. And you can name people. Brother Andrew, I can name people, right? This one did that, this is what happened. This one did that, this is what happened. Well, maybe I'll be the exception. You ever heard that? We've heard it in adults too, let's be honest. Maybe I'll be the exception. Here's what happened. They forgot the danger. It hurt. I know it hurt others, but it won't hurt me like that. Israel thought, there's no danger. We can get a little profit. There's nothing to fear. Because of the remnant, they lost their children. They lost their children. They went to their graves and their children did not know God. They didn't even know what God had done. The whole generation fell completely apart. Why? Because of the danger. They thought there was no danger. The truth is, it was lying at the door. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 1 says, wine's a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It won't hurt me like it did them. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. It won't hurt me like it did them. Are y'all hearing it tonight? Are y'all hearing it? James chapter 1, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. It won't happen to me like it did them. I know that's what happened, but I know better. I'll be okay. I'm stronger. I'm better. I'm faster. It won't catch me. It won't hurt me. Here's what you got to understand. The thorn is designed to hurt you and nothing else. Thorns are good for nothing but hurting. That's what they're for. And the saddest part about it all is this. It was so easily avoidable. All they had to do was just do what the Lord said. Now you say, well, Brother Paul, it's not always easy. Sure, sure, sure. Sometimes things can be complicated. But the answer is easy. Follow the Lord. Do what He says. Amen. What the Bible says, do it. That's what I'm saying. Y'all getting that? What the Bible says, do it. If the Bible says you don't need that in your life, then guess what, friend? You don't need it in your life. And if you keep just a little, all you're doing is setting yourself up for deceit and destruction. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Don't be like Israel who found out when it was too late. The seed had already been planted. The seed had already been planted. Jeremiah 4:3 said this, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 13, they have sown wheat but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. Friend, don't let that be your story. Amen. Sad thing about thorns is sometimes they're not seen until they're felt. Can I tell you, as we close tonight, and Brother Andrew, someone come to the piano, or however you want to handle that tonight, I will be the first to testify that there have been some thorns that have come into my life. Because there were just some small sins that I thought, it's not that bad. That's all. Can we be honest? This ain't that big a deal. It's not that bad. It's not like I'm doing this. It's not like I'm going there. And before I knew it, eventually I began to feel some thorns that came into my life. And I did not know they were there till I was already hurting. Tonight, if you're here, and you've got some things in your life, maybe they're small things. The preacher's been preaching, the Sunday school teacher's been teaching, the Bible has been speaking to your heart and saying, you need to get that out. Maybe you're in a bad relationship, someone who's not even a believer. Maybe you've got some little small sinful things in your life that the Bible teaches you ought not have because we're not supposed to set any wicked thing before our eyes, right? Maybe you got some little things and you're thinking, well, it's not that big a deal. Think of your children. Think of your future. Think of the actual potential of what that thing could become in your life or in the lives of those who are coming up behind you. Amen. Amen. The last thing I would ever want is for one day me to look at the lives of my children and to realize that their lives have become a wreck because I introduced things. Are y'all listening? Into their lives, thinking it's not that big a deal, only for it to take root and to spread and to grow. Because another thing that thorns sometimes do when they grow on a living plant is they choke it out. Amen. I know that's not a shouting message tonight, but I'll tell you this, God's people don't need to be blinded by thorns. Amen. Let's all stand.